Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vithangtham Sujivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitansya. Anandalila Maya Vigrahaya Hemabhadivyachcha Visundaraya Tasmai Mahapremarasa Pradaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste. Hare Krishna. Today is the disappearance of Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. That is his mantra written by Guru Maharaj. How does it begin? Does anyone remember? Jagannatham. Anyway. Vaishnavidna. Huh? Speak aloud.
Gaurav Rajeshwara
Chaitanya. Shaishayar.
Vaishnavir Vandya Vigraham.
Jagannatha Prabhum Vande.
Premabdhim
Vridha. Premabdhim Vridha.
Vaishnavam.
Vaishnavam. To say he's the, you know, the most senior amongst the Vaishnavas. And they're actually Vaishnavas of the highest quality is quite a statement of recognition indeed. And also of Rasikananda Prabhu and Srila Bhakti Daita Madhav Maharaj. So Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj we hear that he lived until 125 years of age, that he was the Vaish Guru of Bhagwat Das Babaji, who gave Vaish to Gorkishore Das Babaji, and we hear he gave Vaish to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But really, it's Bhaktivinoda Thakur's recognition of him that is most meaningful to us. As when Bhaktivinoda Thakur feels that he has discovered the birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Mayapur. But as Srila Guru Maharaj says, one should not be overly confident in their own estimation of things. So we see the Vaishnavas, they're always seeking the guidance, the approval of higher Vaishnavas, or what Guru Maharaj says, you know, more experienced, reliable. And to verify what they feel. Hridayena binugyato dharmastha nibodhata. At last, what is felt in the heart, verified in the heart, but still, they like that from the heart of another Vaishnava, some approval. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur arranges for Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj to visit Mayapur. We know, like here, Tulsi Devi is asserting herself in different ways everywhere, springing out of the soil. So it's truly a Vrindavan, a forest of Tulsi. But when Bhaktivinoda Thakur was searching on the British made maps of everything, and there was some place, and it was called, the way they spell it was M-Y-A-P-U-R, like Mayapur, Mayapur. So he went there, and the local Muslim farmers said, there's some land over here that is useless. We've tried cultivating many different crops there, and nothing grows there except tulsi. Right. And he's saying, oh, that place I should. Only tulsi will grow from its soil. And he received some divine indication that this is the place of the appearance of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But still, he wants the corroboration and approval from the, you know, Vaishnava Sarvabhauma Sri Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, the premier, most senior and leader of the Vaishnavas of the day, who is so old at the time, we're told, he cannot walk and is rather carried in a like wicker basket, rattan or whatever that, you know. And we've seen that. People think that's strange, that in India previously, different palki, they call it, kind of short for palanquin. Some people who were not fit would be carried up to Badrinath. So there's this way that the basket fits on the person, then the man sits in the basket and they carry them. You might have seen that still. It's in certain places, it's there. So he is carried by his attendant. And we're told at the time also, as we've seen in the Parampara picture, that he's hunchbacked, although a tall figure at this time due to advanced age, when he's hunched over and what would generally be described as invalid. As Srila Gurudev would sometimes say, I may be invalid, but my friends are valid. But anyway, so Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, Bhaktivinoda Thakur brings him there. And he is so overwhelmed by the spiritual atmosphere and substance that we're told, he leaps out of his basket and into the air, and he's taking the holy name of Krishna. So he's leaping like a meter off the ground in ecstasy. And that's the verification. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says also in his I believe in the Kalyana Kalpataru that on an Ekadashi once that Jagannath Das Babaji was overwhelmed on that day and taking the holy name of Krishna and leaping high and dancing, and all different ecstatic symptoms were visible on his divine form, and he by his mercy extended them to all of those who were participating in the kirtan. So what he was experiencing, he extended to them. They had that experience. Such is the power of such great souls. And that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Gaurakishore Das Babaji, from him they want their substantial connection is also very telling. And Rasikananda Prabhu, disciple of Shyamananda, we hear from Bilva Mangal Thakur, Mukti Mukuli Tanjali Sevatesman Dharmartha Kama, something, that the actually, everything is at the disposal of a pure devotee, as everything is at the disposal of Krishna. Right? As I say, we serve at the pleasure of Krishna. But the devotees, they're rarely employing anything. They prefer to live in the minimal way. But on a moment's notice, Mukti is ready to serve. You know, everything, mystic power, whatever it be, they're all ready. They're ready to offer themselves in service to such exalted personalities, the personification of these things. So we hear that one Muslim fakir means like mystic, who had heard of the glories of Rasikananda Prabhu, wanted to have his darshan to meet him. And for his entrance, he chose to arrive riding a tiger. Right? So he's controlling the tiger and thinks, you know, this is an impressive way to show up, you know. So he comes in riding on the tiger, you know, I've come to see Rasikananda Prabhu. And he meets Rasikananda Prabhu's attendant. He says, all right, one minute, please. And he goes and finds Rasikananda Prabhu, who's sitting on a broken brick wall and brushing his teeth with a twig. Right? He said, there is one Muslim fakir who's come to see you. And he's saying, oh, I should receive him immediately. This wall, take me to the fakir. And the broken brick wall starts carrying him. So the fakir gets down from his tiger and gives his dandavats. And he thinks, I can control the animate, but he's making the inanimate move. He commanded the wall to move. Such is the power of the great souls. So, and Srila Bhakti Dvaita Madhav Maharaj, known in Gaudiya Math as Hayagriva Brahmachari, whom Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur described as a man of volcanic energy. And Guru Maharaj said that when Madhava Maharaj would always come to see Guru Maharaj, stay there a few weeks every year at the Math, and he told Saraswati Thakur of the glories of Srila Guru Maharaj, that whether it's an ancient Sanskritian or a modern educated European, Srila Sridhar Maharaj represents Sri Gaudiya Math in such a way as to demonstrate its superiority to any conception presented to him. And that Madhava Maharaj, different Vaishnavas approach the seva of Acharya differently. So Madhava Maharaj showed a very maybe stern figure to his disciples, a very perfect representation of the Acharya. So, but when he would come to visit Guru Maharaj, he was playing like a child, laughing, eating, many different things, and like just having fun with Srila Guru Maharaj, Srila Gurudev at Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Math. And he used to say to Guru Maharaj, "You're the best advisor to a king, but you wouldn't be a good king." And Guru Maharaj would say, "I have no aspirations to be a king." He's not inclined for that position. And their preaching party, imagine this, Srila Sridhar Maharaj, Srila Madhava Maharaj, Srila Goswami Maharaj, the three of them, they're like a preaching party in Gaudiya Math. And Saraswati Thakur used to refer to them as my party. Some special connection he felt for them. And just imagine, then Swami Maharaj Prabhupada invites them to his house for a program. So Srila Prabhupada, Swami Maharaj, it's his house program, and who's coming but Sridhar Maharaj, Madhava Maharaj, and Goswami Maharaj. That's quite a program. And I said, Sridhar Maharaj would speak, Swami Maharaj and Madhava Maharaj would do the kirtan, and Goswami Maharaj would collect. So, but so we heard of the glories of Srila Madhava Maharaj, and also that he is also very handsome, and it was one of the reasons why he was not selected to go to Europe, to London, was that he was so handsome, and someone said, "And the ladies of England are like apsaras." They'll be too much attracted to him, so someone else was selected. At that time, Goswami Maharaj. But it was our good fortune in the early 70s, these great disciples of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur were still moving in the plane of service and in India, in various places where they had established Maths. And so in like the autumn, I guess it was, of 1974, on my way out of India, I wanted to visit Jagannath Puri before I returned. I'd been to Vrindavan, Navadvip, Mayapur. I thought, if I can visit Jagannath Puri, then I'll be very fortunate and happy. And so I went to the station, and I violated some of the advice the more experienced devotees had given, which was, there were certain like do's and don'ts. And one of the major don'ts was never ride the train in third class unreserved. Just like never do that. Like I didn't even know what it was, so they said, but never do that. And I remember when I, this decision to go to Puri, I didn't have time to get a proper ticket and everything, and the only thing available was third class unreserved. And I saw on that train car all the stages of life, from birth to disease, old age, death, everything was there in one rolling, rollicking ride. It was something I shall never forget. But before getting boarding the train, third class, unreserved, when I reached the Howrah station, I saw this angelic, distinguished, handsome-looking sannyasi, perfectly adorned in the sannyas vesh, and it was Madhav Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Dvaita Madhav Maharaj. And I gave Shastanga Dandavats to him at Howrah station. And if you know anything about Howrah station, it hasn't won any awards like uncleanliness. But there was no hesitation. I heard just Shastanga Dandavat. Just seeing him, I felt compelled for Shastanga Dandavat. And when I rose, he asked me what I was doing. I said, I'm going to Puri. He said, oh, I'm also going to Puri. He was going first class reserved. And I might have mentioned that I was going third class unreserved, which one should never do. And so he, you know, was very happy to see that I was going to that place, and he was going to perhaps the, you know, to the Purushottam Gaudiya Math of Srila Saraswati Thakur. He was originally from Dhaka, Bangladesh, but that seva came to him. So anyway, then we parted and he went to his car, I went to mine. And then when I arrived in Jagannath Puri, my only guidelines were things I'd heard here and there from devotees. And unlike Vrindavan, in Vrindavan you can kind of stumble upon holy places. You know, everyone knows where certain things are. If you say Govindaji, they all point, you know, or Madan Mohan or Radha Damodar, you'll get there. In Jagannath Puri, you may not even know what to ask for. And other than the Jagannath temple, which we're not allowed to enter. And I knew that, I'd heard that. I didn't know to what degree they enforced that rule. And somehow, the way Maya works is this thought entered my brain that, yes, you cannot enter the Jagannath temple, but it's a complex. And they're surrounded by many temples, the Nisringa temple, this. And I thought, so I can enter the complex and not go into the Jagannath Mandir proper, but to these peripheral temples. That's what I told myself as I walked through the gate. Let's see, this is east and that is west, and this is north, south, the southern gate. And within seconds, the barefoot policeman grabbed me And they didn't say, oh, you know, my dear child, you're not allowed, you know, please, you come with me. Not like that, but they grabbed me and dragged me outside and threw me in a gutter. And I would remind you, this is an Indian gutter. There's some very nice gutters in the United States and Switzerland and other places. This was not like that. This was an Indian gutter, which they're still visible in certain parts of India. And they have all the, the remnants of different aspects of life. That's what I will say. So I realized I must have done something very wrong. Like, things are not going well. Right? I'm in this holy place and I'm in a gutter. And I'm not looking at the stars. You know? And so I'm thinking, like, I need some adjusting, because this is just not good. I've never had any experience like this. And other places, sometimes we misbehaved, that's for sure. I will admit that, and I regret that to this day. But this was extreme. And as I came out of the gutter and realized I need, like, to change my clothes, and I was very, downtrodden and walking my head down, and I got in a rickshaw to return to the place where I was staying. And then coming on the rickshaw in another direction, there was Srila Bhakti Daita Madhav Maharaj. And he could see that I needed affectionate guidance. So he stopped both the rickshaws, and he could see, it was just obvious that I was in need of help. So he took me to the Purushottam Gaudiya Math and to a Tulsi garden. And this was sort of at the end of the day, the twilight. And finally it was coming out of me, my innate resentment at not being allowed Jagannath Darshan. And I said, I don't understand why, you know, we're following seriously the Gaudiya line. As Guru Maharaj would later mention, that Mahaprabhu never interfered in Puri. Some people say, well, in Navadvip he led the civil disobedience movement against the Chan Kazi who broke the Mridanga. And that may be and is true, but he did no such thing in Jagannath Puri. He never challenged them or their system. In fact, he and the Goswamis went out of their way to not even remotely challenge that. As evinced by Sanatana Goswami walking on the hot sands, Haridas Thakur at Siddhabokul, etc. Right. So when I said to him, like, I don't know, you know, that he said to me, Haridas Thakur never entered the temple. And my head, like, went down a little bit. And then he said, Rupa Goswami never entered the temple. My head went down further. He said, Sanatan Goswami Prabhu never entered the temple. Now my head was almost on the ground. And I thought, yeah, who do I think I am? Haridas Thakur, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, they never entered, but I, right? Who am I? I'm not being recognized. It was so childish, infantile. But see, so now my head is like, I'm humbled, humiliated. Dostoevsky says that humiliation is the most intense form of consciousness. I mean, no, when you're humiliated, you're very focused. You're really aware of yourself at that time. And everything's clear. In humiliation, everything is very crystal clear. And nothing external distracts you. You're very focused. But then Madhava Maharaj said, but, so for you, your parikrama will be, as Mahaprabhu gave the Siddha Bokul area to Haridas Thakur, from there he can view the chakra, which is equal to Jagannath, that'll be the first place that you visit. And I had this little white diary, which I kept for so many years, and you know, I don't know where it is. So I wrote that down. That'll be the first place you go. Siddha Bokul, where Haridas Thakur and Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, they stayed, and Mahaprabhu visited them every day. And then you will go to the house of Vasudev, Sarvabhauma, Bhattacharya, Shweta Ganga is on the way. So as I wrote these things down, and what was amazing is he told me the rickshaw prices, like the exact amount of the fare. So when the rickshaw wallahs would tell me five times that, and I would say what the exact fare was, they would be shocked. And I would pay them a little more just to make them happy. But they couldn't understand how I knew what the actual prices were, which were things like 75 paisa, not even like 3 rupees, 5 rupees. You know, he told, so I'd write the place and then the exact amount, and then where I go from there, the exact amount, and what to say to them, and they'd always go. So they knew someone had told me, and it was Srila Bhakti Dvaita Madhava Maharaj, each place, where to go, and how to this would be the proper way to do parikrama and Jagannath Puri, and I can only think how merciful he was to me personally that I was 22 years old and, you know, newly minted in the Krishna consciousness movement. Joined when I was 19, so I'd been involved for say 3 years. And he just very mercifully helped me, told me everything I needed to know, was very kind. So the person whom Saraswati Thakur described as a man of volcanic energy, I got to see him and his very soft, fatherly side. Like with fatherly love and affection and concern, he took care of me at the time when I needed it the most. Then it didn't matter that my clothes were soiled, and I was so happy, I couldn't be happier. And the next day, with fresh cloth, I began that tour. Oh, and he also told me where I will get prasad from Gopinath Kuntia, who personally served me the prasadam, and that family, their name is mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamritam. So they take care of the Gaudiya line, but they were there, Mahaprabhu went to their house in Puri. And as Srila Gurudev said, like when you go to Vrindavan, there's a memorial that's built on the spot or the general area and Puri, some of these places are the exact same way they were when Mahaprabhu was there. So that's something to consider. And Guru Maharaj said that Madhava Maharaj, when he'd visit him, he would, and you know, you say how you're doing, how you're keeping on that. He said Madhava Maharaj would have 5 or 6 programs going with 5 or 6 different groups of people. And then I thought, who does that remind us of? The personality who has 5 or 6 different programs going on simultaneously with 5 or, you know, different groups of people, none other than Srila Bhakti Vimala Avadhut Maharaj, who we could reiterate, borrow that phrase and say, a man of volcanic energy. So, what good fortune we have to meet His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Saraswati Thakur's most prolific disciple, but to meet the others also. And Prabhupada, while sometimes as a brother to brother, God brother, he had some critical remarks, he did not like to hear them from his disciples about his God brothers. And we're told to see the God brothers of our guru as guru. And certainly we saw more than a few how, and it only made us appreciate all the more the position of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. That if these are his disciples, then who is that guru? And that actually could segue to the question about Bhagavan. And it's asked before when we hear Bhagavan Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And this was, you could say, introduced by Srila Govinda Maharaj. And in his own explanation, he said, originally, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was known as Prabhupada by his disciples. And some backstory on that, in Nityananda Vamsa and Sahajiya circles, Prabhupada is this preeminent title they only use for certain personalities, particularly in Nityananda Vamsa line. As when Vidagdha and I met these Nityananda Vamsas who, they believe, for example, that Srila Prabhupada, Swami Raj's success, worldwide success, in spreading the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world, is due to his having been initiated by them when he was like 10 years old. That's when he got the empowerment. Yeah. And while we're talking to that gentleman, whose name was something Prabhupada, right, a householder, he had a child, a toddler, who, while we're talking, it was like crawling on the floor. And as he came near us, he said, oh, meet Sukadev Prabhupada. So he was also Prabhupada. Sukadev Prabhupada. I don't know about the wife. But anyway, so that was the title they used with regard to Saraswati Thakur, in a sense to say, as much as anyone can be Prabhupada in their life, he's also that, as he's showing, these Vaishnavas are not less than Brahmins by giving Brahmin to many things. Some of these things were very pertinent to the society of the time, and may be almost indecipherable in the modern world, but there are reasons behind all of these things. Still, so he became known as Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada by his disciples, Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur. So, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, he became known as Srila Prabhupada to his disciples. This disturbed some of the disciples of Saraswati Thakur. Guru Maharaj said, no, Guru, he gave support. But to get to the point, so Srila Govinda Maharaj, as he traveled around the world, he saw that on the world scale, within Gaudiya Math, Prabhupada means Saraswati Thakur. So no one else can be called Prabhupada. Within ISKCON, Prabhupada means A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Okay. But Srila Govinda Maharaj, who was raised on a Gaudiya Math way of formalities, and saw that he went around the world, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, he's Prabhupada. If you go around the world and mention Prabhupada, people know that it's him or think of him. They don't think of Saraswati Thakur. So he thought that then it would be nice and appropriate to address Saraswati Thakur in such a way that, and that there was some unique level of exaltation. So he began saying, Bhagawan, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Now some people thought that that was inappropriate. And they thought, so much so that Srila Sridhar Maharaj, certainly he would not have approved. He did not do that, and he would not approve of that. So, Srila Govinda Maharaj, he has all the books of Srila Guru Maharaj. So, in one of the books of Guru Maharaj, like a Bhagavatam with marginalia, he has in the handwriting of Srila Sridhar Maharaj, him saying, Bhagavan Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, right? Which he showed at one point to someone who had grave doubts about the authenticity, no, what's the word? Who was questioning the, I'm saying authenticity, there's another word. So to that person who was questioning, saying, Guru Maharaj would have never done this. And he said, you see this book? This is the handwriting of Srila Guru Maharaj, and it says, Bhagavan Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So that's where that come from. And then whether or not someone can be called Bhagavan, this was kind of funny because Gurudev and I, we would mention the different places who was known as Bhagavan in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavan Badarayani, Bhagavan Badarayana. So sometimes, you know, Veda Vyas, Sukadev. But Bhagavan Drona, right. Bhagavan Narada. So Bhagavan used repeatedly in different places. And because I had the advantage of the Veda base and search, whenever I'd find a new one, I would tell him. And he would go, Acha Baba. Like more than we even thought. But Bhagavan Drona was kind of, you know, if Dronacharya could be called Bhagavan, Saraswati Thakur could not. So it's one of those things. But I would say finally that when Srila Govinda Maharaj decides to do something, he's already got himself covered. It's not that he gets overcome by some whim. What is wrong with the loop on the pictures? They're not showing properly. Anyway, when he decides to do something like this, it's vetted, it's covered, he has aces up his sleeve. He doesn't just whimsically get overwhelmed by something and then blurt something out, and then he's in the unfortunate position of having to withdraw that. That's not how he approaches things. So he's already got the book with Guru Maharaj saying, he's got the references in the book. He has all these things in his pocket, so to speak. And then he begins something. And I was told, your friend, do you have some question? Now he's intimidated. I should have let him ask the question first. Hare Krishna. Any other questions? The other one's like a major question. I would save that for another time.
Okay, Maharaj.
But I mentioned Jagannath Das Babaji, Rasikananda Prabhu, Srila Bhakti Dwaita Madhav Maharaj. Sometimes we get carried away with our own intellectual analysis of things, and even Vaishnavas. And Srila Guru Maharaj would say to me that, tell me to like stop and say, we want the grace of these personalities. So don't analyze in such a way as you no longer are a recipient of their grace. And I guess that's what I mean to say by Prabhupada can make some comments, it's God-brother to God-brother, but that's not for us, really. We want to be in a position to receive their grace. So when I met Srila Madhava Maharaj, there were no untoward thoughts in my mind. I was just like overwhelmed by the beauty, the spiritual radiance that was obvious of this divine person. And he was very kind and merciful to me, as we hear the Vaishnavas are. You know. But, and really what was only a few years later, when I approached Srila Guru Maharaj, he was thinking, he's saying, one by one, day by day, you know, there's so many left in this one brief period. Madhava Maharaj, Srila Swami Maharaj, Prabhupada, Ban Maharaj, and maybe perhaps some others. Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj, like. And when I first met Guru Maharaj, it was 1978, and I mentioned it, he was kind of overwhelmed and shaking his head and feeling some sadness about that. But he came to realize, and I came to realize, that the wealth of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur that was stored in him. That's how he described it. As if to say, sometimes I want, all this wealth is stored in me and more or less remains that way. Madhav Maharaj would come once a year, Goswami Maharaj, Jajavar Maharaj, something like that. They're visiting Guru Maharaj for a few weeks a year, and during that time, Guru Maharaj is sharing some of those realizations that Srila Swami Maharaj Prabhupada said will make you faint. But otherwise, he's upstairs. The Mott program is going on downstairs, pot and kirtan. And that's what people understand. Not everyone, they didn't go up every day for a class from Srila Guru Maharaj. He came down three times a year, maybe four. Gaur Purnima, Saraswati Thakur's appearance day. Gaur Purnima, Radhastami, and his own Vyas Puja. Those are the times he came down. And otherwise, devotees would go, they would bow to a picture of Guru Maharaj. They'd go up a few steps, and then there's a picture. They bow to a picture or the direction, you know, his veranda. And Srila Govinda Maharaj, he would decide who would be taken to Guru Maharaj. And that's why when we came, and Guru Maharaj is really not inclined to come out, so to speak, Srila Gurudev, who's, you know, his, I once said he could charm the hood off a cobra. You know, he's that charming. Would say, Maharaj, they've come from so far. Saraswati Thakur wanted you to preach in the West. If you, 5 minutes. And Guru Maharaj would say, all right, I don't have the, 5 minutes, Maharaj, just five. Okay, then 5 minutes. And that would turn into 90, you know, 45 to 90 minutes. And then Guru Maharaj later commented, what was stored in me by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur in my final days, it's coming out. And it came out, it was drawn out of him by the necessity of the disciples of Srila Prabhupada Swami Maharaj. So how wonderful is that? Their necessity brought out what was stored in him. So when we hear sometimes the stories of the ancient Vaishnavas, they were living in some place and only known to a few, like Rasikananda Prabhu and Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. Bhaktivinoda Thakur himself had something like 7 disciples. Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, we hear 1 Saraswati Thakur, sometimes, you know, 3, 5. That's it. That Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, we can understand, I think, why only 1 or 1, 2. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that he only had like 5 or 7 disciples, is just like, mind-blowing. And the whole wealth of the modern Krishna consciousness movement comes from him. Gurudam, Granthadam, Gauradam, Namadam, Uda, Bhaktidam, Buridam, Bande, Bhakti, Vinodadam, Sada. Everything we have comes from Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Because he got an agent of distribution in Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. And these exalted disciples of his, whom Lord Jetland of England, who had much appreciation for Indian culture and Sri Gaudiya Math, said when he saw Saraswati Thakur and his sannyasis, and he meant this from his heart and seriously, he said, I felt as though I was seeing Jesus Christ and his 12 apostles. I felt it was like that. That's how stunning their presentation was. Hare Krishna.